We will be working out of a text today from Romans chapter 8. It's verse 5 and 6. So let me read it for you to kick things off. It says this, Romans 8, starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. In verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen? Will you join me in prayer? We'll ask God to help us with our text today. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you with a grateful heart. So grateful for your people that you brought here in this place, the community and the fellowship that you've given us. Father, we thank you for that. What a beautiful thing community is. And we give you glory and honor for that. We're grateful for that, Father. We pray and give you thanks for your word. Really, your perfect word that we're opening up here now, Father. I pray that your Spirit would truly enlighten the eyes of our heart, Father. That your Spirit would convict and teach and move and really just be here to give application to your word. I pray that your perfect word would have its perfect way in us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, as it does that, I pray that it would be for our great joy, our great benefit. But Father, I pray that it would always be for your glory and for your honor. So, Father, would you be glorified in this study, in this place, as you are in heaven, in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, man, it is good being here. Look at you guys. This is way more, just, you guys are way more alive than the seventh one, I'm just telling you. This is the cool group, I know. You know what I've noticed? And you may have noticed the same thing. It's really not that hard in this world today to see conflict. There's conflict everywhere. Whether you look overseas or you look right here at home, right here in Grants Pass, if you're looking, what you're gonna find is conflict. But I personally am convinced that the greatest conflict in the world today is not overseas in that big conflict between two peoples that have been killing each other for thousands of years. I don't think that's the greatest conflict. I don't think the greatest conflict is this racial conflict you see everywhere. There is a diversity of peoples, here or there or anywhere. I don't even think the greatest conflict is political conflict that you see anywhere you see government at any level, you're gonna see conflict. It's not even that. In fact, it's not even the conflict we see in our society, culturally. The culture wars, conflicts are alive and well, don't you think? Now more than ever. I don't think those are the greatest conflicts in the world today. I'm convinced the greatest conflict in the world today is the battle for the control of our minds. That's the greatest conflict. Whether you know it or not, there is a spiritual conflict. There is a spiritual play for the control of the Christian's thought life. Amen? And of course there is, right? The spiritual enemy isn't stupid, right? They know, our spiritual enemies know that our minds are the most valuable and powerful commodity of the human essence. I know you thought it was your opposable thumb. It's not. It's your brain. It's your brain. It's your mind. It's your thought life. It's super powerful. As one intellect once said, if we just knew how powerful our mind was, we'd probably use it a little more often. Sound familiar? If you're like me, you feel like you're losing this battle of your thought life. The control of your mind, that you're losing that battle. It's difficult. And if you're like me, you find yourself saying way too often, what was I thinking? Or if I just would have had a better attitude or a better mental perspective, a better frame of mind, I would have done better in that situation. I think if we're all honest, we've all felt that way. We all have felt like we're losing this battle for the mind. We all, if we admit, know that we need a reframing of our minds in order to have spiritual success. Amen? We all need that. And good news today, because our scripture here today is gonna help us not only learn how to think a little bit more, but to know how to frame our minds for spiritual success. Amen? The first thing I want you to see about our verses here today is there is a key phrase. All of my introduction, there's a key phrase. It's called setting of the mind. That's your key phrase. It unlocks the whole thing. It's how we set our mind. And what a phrase that is. It is really in the original language, the phrase called phroneho. It literally means framing your thoughts and restricting things from getting in there and then putting something in there and letting it bounce around inside that frame. It's really where we get our English phrase, frame of mind. It's really reflectively thinking about certain things. Let me illustrate it this way. Because we're in my hometown, some of you may remember, I used to be Dan Vidlak. I used to be that all-American wrestler, that world-class wrestler. Some of you may remember, I'm in my hometown. I'll tell you one thing, I'm not that guy anymore. And I don't remember a lot about those days, but there's one thing I do remember. And that is on my way up, I remember the more matches I won, the harder they got, right? You win, it gets harder. You win, it gets harder. Until you get to a point where you're outmatched. You're over your head and the lights are bright. And I remember such a time. Okay, I'm in that state of mind. Minutes before going out and doing battle, I was an absolute train wreck in my brain. I couldn't get it together. The lights were too bright. Everybody in that place knew that my opponent was bigger and better than me and that I was gonna lose, and it just messed me up in my head. And I happened to be lucky enough to have a coach who actually loved me. Who loved me not for the glory I was going to bring him if I won, but he actually cared about me. And he saw me in my conflict and said, Dan, what's going on? I said, man, I'm not right in the head. He said, man, you better get it together because you're about ready to go out there. You better get it together. And I said, I know, but I can't. I don't know how. I was just filling my mind reflectively with how good my opponent was. The bright lights. The fear of failure, all those things we all bounce around. And he just said something brilliant to me that I'll never forget. It may be why I actually had that career. Maybe for this moment right here, to give you this illustration, here's what my coach did. He said, listen, we don't have a lot of time. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw a box in your brain, and the only thing you get to put in there is your offensive technique for you to score points. That's all I want you thinking about. Just your offense right now. Get that in your mind. Nothing else goes in there. You lock that box. I'm like, okay. And I had a lot of offense, so I just started thinking about setups to get to my leg attacks. I was thinking about my finishes. I was visualizing that, and I was just bouncing it off my brain. Oh, I saw it like as clear as day in my head, and I'm bouncing around. And the next thing I know, I'm out there doing it. I was out there wrestling. No more distractions. I had reflectively limited, restricted to certain things. That's this word for neho. It's to draw a box, put something inside of it, and reflectively bounce it around. That's our key phrase that unlocks it. It's the phrase here in our scripture that's gonna actually activate or trigger a cascade of events, like a series of waterfalls that go down. It's what triggers all of that. The setting of your mind, if you caught it here, there's a cascade event here. If you set your mind on one of two power sources that we all have inside us, something's gonna happen. That power source is gonna generate a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is gonna end and yield either death or life. Did you catch it? It's all based on what we frame our minds on. And let's look at that cascade. Because what you really see is a setting of your mind either to the flesh or the spirit. Those two power sources are going to generate some works or some lifestyle. And that lifestyle is then going to generate a result, either life or death. So that first thing I want to talk about is that the two power sources that indwell every believer, the flesh or the spirit. Okay, we all have these. And the first thing I want to say about them is, listen, they are absolutely opposed one from the other. They are a contrast and they are a conflicting forces from each other. They're at odds with each other, you could say. And they're both alive and well in the believer. Don't let anybody tell you you don't have both of those today, even as a believer. You have a flesh and you have a spirit. And listen, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 helps us understand how they oppose each other. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Did you see the great contrast? They're at odds one with another. And this is the opportunity as we talk about these two power sources to give you some freedom to understand that the war is happening in those two sources that we both have. It can be confusing. You can do things you don't want to do because you're thinking about the wrong things. It can be a great struggle within to reconcile these two forces. And I'm going to tell you, it's normal. Did you hear me? It's normal for the Christian to see these two things and struggle with them. The great apostle Paul gives us some insight here in Romans chapter 7. The whole chapter is about trying to live in one of these two spots. And the great apostle Paul struggled with these two forces. Romans 7, verse 21. And if the apostle Paul struggled here and is conflicted here, we are going to be too. Okay? So, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. That sounds like a conflicted man to me. A saved man who is conflicted between doing the things he wanted to do, but yet living in his flesh. It's a conflict. Let's talk about these two power sources. Let's start with the flesh. That's one choice. You set your mind on the things of the flesh, you're going to go right to the flesh as a power source. And really, the flesh is really what we have. Keep it real simple. It's the enemy within you. It is really what we have and what we desire to satisfy and do for ourselves without God. No God, just you. This is what you have to offer. It's really our sin nature that we inherited from the first human, Adam, when he fell. We inherited a sin nature. We got this flesh the old-fashioned way. We inherited it. Every human, saved and unsaved, from that day on, was born with a sin nature or a flesh, we call it. Did you know that? It is really a ferocious appetite for what your body desires to satisfy. That's a good way to look at it. The things that we see and they look good, ooh la la. Your flesh is going to drive you to satisfy what you see. What we hear, those things that hear good, that tickle our ears, our flesh is going to drive us that way to hear these things. The things that we taste, the things that we touch, those things that feel good in and of ourselves outside of God, our flesh is going to drive us to satisfy those desires. It's not a good thing. It's the great enemy within. You know, sometimes Some of you guys know I raised two boys. They were rambunctious boys, heathens, you may say. And a lot of times when they got in trouble and they finally came clean, sometimes they'd say stuff like this. You ever said this? The devil made me do it. Satan made me do it. Nah, bro, I think this one's on you. I think that was you. I think you did what you wanted to do. You don't need Satan to mess up. Oh, he's one of our enemies, but the flesh is what we're talking about today. It's that great enemy within. And it produces something. The first cascade is the power source. It's going to produce a lifestyle. If you go back to Romans chapter 5, it says this. It says, you will live in accord accordingly. You'll live according to the flesh. It's talking about a lifestyle. What you think, you'll tap into a power source that we just talked about, and it will produce a lifestyle. Do you want me to read you the lifestyle of the flesh? Oh, come on, let's do it. It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Let me read you a list. It's not a good list, but this is what the flesh produces. It says, now the work of the flesh are evident. In other words, this is the lifestyle. This is what you see when you're tapping into that power source. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envies, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. Just in case, just those kind of things, right? I like that last phrase. And things like these. Now, some of you looking at that going, oh, murder, I would never murder. But ooh la la, the orgies sound pretty good, right? Or maybe, hey, I would never divide, but I'm kind of envy of my neighbor. Like, pick your poison, okay? It's all going to drive you to, if you look at those, that list, is to satisfy your fleshly desires. Amen? That's the works of the flesh. And probably the most sobering part about Romans chapter 8 is verse 6. It says this, to think on the spirit is life, but to think on what? The flesh is what? Death. The result, okay? Power source, flesh, lifestyle, we just read them. Here's the results. If you live that long enough, death. It seems like what we think is a matter of life and death. That text is that important. And you may be thinking, death? Like the sleepwalker? Like, yeah, I take that to be literal. You live that lifestyle long enough, what you're going to find is, you're going to find two things. You're going to find you're heading down the wrong direction. And if you're a believer today, okay, if you've believed in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that he died, was buried, and rose for you in your being, you believe that you've accepted that, you're a believer, and God loves you, and he loves you no matter what, no matter if you act like that. But here's what I know, because Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says that he whom he loves, he chastises. Literally, he spanks you. Why? Because he loves you. And some of us have been taken outside back of the woodshed by God more than once. Amen? Anybody here? Yeah, you get a little bit of woodshed. You get a little spanking. And most of us correct ourselves. And then maybe we need it again. Okay, that's pretty normal. But if your lifestyle is unrepentant, living that lifestyle time and time again, the Lord will chastise whom he loves. And eventually, out of his mercy and love and his grace, he's going to say, you need to come home. I believe that with all my heart. Because God will not let his church be condemned with the world. Sooner or later, in his mercy, he's going to say, come on home. He is long-suffering and he is loving, but that can happen. I know people that this happened to. No doubt, I'm convinced of it. I can't prove it, but I know they were saved. But yet, God just said, come on home. In his mercy and his grace. So yeah, literally, I think death, but probably more to the point today, spiritually, you are dying right now while you're alive, don't you think? If you're living that lifestyle, unchecked, Just going down that lifestyle, and that lifestyle described you. Your spiritual life is dead. It's rendered inoperable. It has no power because you're living just like God never provided a spiritual way to overcome those things. You're a dead man walking. So yeah, the flesh always leads to death, both literally and spiritually, in my opinion, as we live according to the flesh. Listen, he has provided another way for us. Because the cascade that I read for you, when you set your mind on things, it doesn't always have to be the flesh. Let's talk about the other energizing force that you can tap into. It's God's Spirit. Did you read it? It's God's Spirit. Those who think on things of the Spirit will have life and peace. And when it says Spirit, that's a capital S. That's God's Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you realize this, but the moment you were saved, per the gospel I just described to you, some amazing things happened to you. And one of the things that happened to you, whether you know it or not, is your spirit, your rational mind, got regenerated. Did you know that? You have a regenerated spirit, and God's Spirit came to indwell you. Did you know that? That's the biggest miracle of the Bible, by the way. God Almighty came to indwell believers. He indwells you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 puts it this way. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, that you have from God? He's inside of you. In your regenerated spirit, God's Spirit is there. In what he does for us, that power source, what he really does is he's revealing, convicting and revealing. One of the things he does is reveal Jesus Christ to you and the realities of Jesus Christ to you. What he provided for you in his life, death, and resurrection. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Do you remember John chapter 15? Jesus Christ himself, when he promised the Holy Spirit was going to come to indwell. Do you remember right before he went and died and rose again? He said, I'm going to send you another one. Remember? He promised him, he's with you now, but someday, day of Pentecost, he's going to come inside of you and indwell you. Do you remember how he described the Holy Spirit? That great helper, he called him, the comforter, the Spirit of truth, who will what? Bear witness of me, of Jesus, of Christly things. That's the source. It's the things of the Holy Spirit revealing Christ-like characteristics to you and to me. And that always leads to a good lifestyle, don't you think? It always does. Because here's what I know. This is my take on it. When we start reflectively thinking on things of the Spirit, what ends up happening is our regenerated spirit starts to get in harmony with the indwelling Holy Spirit. And you start being on the same line. We stop quenching him, right? We stop grieving him. Now we're thinking the same thing. We're thinking about Christ and he's revealing things to us. That is really what initiates spirit filling. Did you know that? Everyone knows how to be filled with the Spirit? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The filling of the Spirit continually, Paul would say, is when you get your mind right, you start thinking about spiritual things, God's Holy Spirit feels comfortable, and then his fruit, his lifestyle is available to you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. The fruit of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, so on and so forth. Does that sound a lot better than what we read on the works of the flesh? You live according to the Spirit. Your lifestyle will be the fruit of the Spirit because you are Spirit-filled and you're letting him live a life in you and through you, amen? That's a big difference. So as that cascade goes down, what you think about into those two power sources, what a contrasting source, what a contrasting lifestyle. And then finally, did you notice the difference? In the flesh, you got what? Death, right? Do you know what your lifestyle will yield when you live a spiritual life? When you think on those of the Spirit? Life and peace. Amen? Does that sound good to anybody else? I mean, peace is that rare element in the world today that every soul longs for, a real peace that surpasses this world, that's supernatural, that can guard your hearts and your minds. Amen? You get life and peace. So what will it be? Because if Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 does anything, it forces a choice, does it not? What will you think about? Because the battle is for what you think about. For what you think about, you will be, is what that verse says. We talked about the cascading events. What will it be? It's a forced choice. Some of you have gotten eye exams. Some of you I've seen in my office. And as an optometrist, I've given thousands of eye exams. And that part of the eye exam that stresses everybody out, you pour that fluorocarbon in front of their face and you put it in there and you're like, which one do you like better? One? Or two? And you guys are like, I don't know. Stresses you guys out. You should try being me. I have to get 40 of those a day. It's horrible. And just a clue, it's not they're the same. Why would I do that? Why would I make them the same and waste your time and my time? Right? You guys are killing me. That's this verse. This verse is a forced choice. That's what we call it in the business. It's a manifest refraction. It's a forced choice. We're making you pick one. We're going to put you in a prescription. So it's kind of like this. Choice one. Is this the one you want? I'm going to set my mind. In fact, I'd probably be a little lazy. I'm just going to let my mind go. And I'm going to think about the things that I want, what my body craves. Goes into those that nasty list we read. And then you're dying. Or choice two. Whoa, I can think about the Spirit. And that will yield love and joy and peace resulting in life. So it's really choice one, death, life. Which one do you guys want to choose? That's an easy choice, right? It's life. I hope you choose life. That's the point of the whole scripture. I hope you choose life. And it's your choice. That's what I love about the Christian life. It starts with you. God didn't make any robots. He made people whom he loves and gives choices to. You get to pick. You get to pick. In the immortal words of Sid the Sloth from that dramatic, epic thriller, Ice Age, remember when the mammoth said, hey, look, the lion found a shortcut. And Sid looks at it and goes, no, thank you. I choose life. Right? That's what we should be saying. When you look at this list over here, you should say, no, thank you. I choose life and life abundantly. The life that we have in Jesus Christ. We need to set our minds on spiritual things. Now listen, I want to get real practical here in the last 5 to 10 minutes. I want to get real practical because that's the guts of it. But here's what I know. It's different in here than it is in the world, isn't it? These are beautiful people. Beautiful place, beautiful words. We're all in a good frame of mind. You might have fought out there, but when you got in here, you reacted good, right? Right? Everything, yeah, it's all good right now. And sometimes that can't be reality. What ends up happening? This is kind of like halftime. Here's the pep talk. But what I know about me, maybe you're the same, is you go out in the world and it beats you up. Your daily grind can grind you down. Am I speaking to the right people here today? And it's just checking. Yeah. And what can happen is you could be like me before that big match. You know your mind's not right, but you can't change it. You're so messed up. You've been reflecting around in your brain all sorts of bad things. Things like health issues, about money issues, about all sorts of insecurities, anxieties. And insecurities are big ones, and we just bounce those around. And that's a bad place to be. You're dying spiritually when you do that. You're losing the battle for your mind. The Christian thought life's important. And I want to share with you a little mental exercise that I do sometimes that benefits me greatly. I want to kind of be like my coach back then. So when you have those days when you go out in the real world and you're getting your butt kicked in your brain, right? And you're just overwhelmed, I want you to take a second. Just take a breath, and I want you to reframe your mind. Wipe that old frame out like Etch-a-Sketch. Draw a new one. Frame your mind. And what I'd like you to do is draw a box in your mind and limit it to spiritual things. All those other things, keep out. I don't want them in there. Okay? That's what I want you to do. And then I want you to fill, like any good picture frame, it needs a star. Doesn't it need something to fill? You buy these nice frames, you gotta find the picture. And here's what I want you to do. I do this, and it helps me tremendously, is I put Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in that box. I frame spiritual things. I put Jesus Christ or Christ-like things in there. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to our loving Lord. We look to our sweet Savior. We put him in that box. Do you know where to find those things? Do you know where to find Jesus today? Let me help you. This is what I do. This is just me. I find him in the heavenlies because that's where he's at right now. In like Colossians chapter 3, it says that he is in the heavenlies right now at the right hand of the Father, sitting there, resting. It's finished. He's done. He's done really with his work on earth. He's sitting. He's resting. He's in the right hand. He's in a place of power and authority, advocating for you and I, keeping us saved, keeping us washed, right? Oh, you can find him up there. And it says in Colossians chapter 3 that we are supposed to seek and set our minds on things above, where your life is hid in him. Your life is in him in the heavenlies. In other words, we should fill our box with the things that we have in Christ in the heavenlies. And some of those things, if you don't know these, we should say, fill me up, please. Here's a few things that you are in your spiritual position in Jesus Christ. It's not hard. Start reading the epistles and look for the phrase, you have this in Christ. Those are those things you need to be thinking about and reflectively bouncing around. Like, there's no condemnation in Christ. Right? You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are accepted in Christ. You have been made near to Christ. You start balancing those things around in your mind. Christ-like things, Jesus things around in that box. That'll keep you busy. That'll keep you busy. And then there's another place I find Jesus in the scriptures. And this is the part that should touch us all. There was a time when he who was rich became poor so that you and I could be wealthy beyond all measure. Do you know that? There's a time when the eternal Son of God came down on the earth and joined his divinity with humanity and became what? A humble servant, the God-man Jesus Christ, joined himself with a lowly Nazarene, if you will. Imagine that. The humility and all that, the poverty and all that, if you started up as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the eternal Son of God, that first giant step into this dry and dusty and barren land, he joined himself with Jesus. And he didn't just come down as a king like he deserved. He came down as a servant. He humbled himself further by dying for you and I, and not just any death, but a criminal's death on the cross. How disgraceful. How poverty-stricken did Jesus make himself so you and I can be wealthy, amen? I remember him. He is a great humble servant. He said himself, when I come down here, this is how what he said about himself. I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many, amen? So I put those things in there. A humble spirit. Philippians chapter 2 starts this way with that story I just told you about the God-man. It said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Phroneo, same term. Start thinking about these things. Jesus becoming a humble servant. Imagine that. So I'm bouncing around now. You made your, you etch a sketch, the old one, you draw a frame, and you put Jesus Christ inside there. In the heavenlies, what you have in Christ, it's bouncing around. And then you start thinking about his earthly ministry, how he came and he was humble, how he came and became poor so that you might be rich. And guess what? That will keep your mind busy in those times when you're knocking around bad things in there. But here's what happens. Because if you've tried this before, and I've done this a lot, those little borders, those frames that you draw, they're as porous as our southern border here in the United States. Other stuff gets in there. You ever try? It happens. Don't be discouraged. It's normal. Expect it. It's not a steel trap like some of you guys think your brains are. What happens is other things come in there, and some of them aren't even bad. There are things like, did I pick up the kids? I hope you did. Did I remember my wife's birthday? Did I shut the garage door? Okay, those things sneak in. You got to do something with them. It's something Paul tells the Corinthian believers. You have to captivate those thoughts. You captivate them. You look at them for what they are and say, yeah, okay, I'll think about that, but not reflectively. They go outside the box. What I bounce around in my brain, I am going to restrict. And then sometimes there's more nefarious things that go in your brain. Unbelievable, the power of your brain. What can sneak in there from your flesh? You're minding your own business, bouncing things off, and next thing you're like, what? Things that cripple us and crush that box, and we end up being defeated. Things like guilt. Feelings of rejection, feelings that you're far from God, feelings that maybe this, maybe why isn't people serving me? I work hard. I deserve a break today. I have a reputation to withhold. Don't they know who I am? Those things sneak in there, and you've got to captivate them. And you need to bring them into captivity. See them for what they are. They're lusts that are being injected into your brain to break that frame down. And you expel them out and you restrict. That's what you do. You preach a little sermon to yourself. No. No. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I won't feel guilty about that. I will confess, but I will not feel guilty. I am a child of God. No, I have been made righteous. I'm not unworthy. I'm worthy. I'm accepted. Jesus made himself a servant. I can do that. I can serve people. I can be a real servant. Having a humble mind. That's how you protect your frame. Amen? We're going to take communion here. And I can't think of a better way to refocus. And we start thinking about Jesus.